14. And so Paul ends up healing the leader of the island, Publius's father, and a lot of others. And so Paul's always on duty and always helps everywhere he is. And then finally, at the end of 3 months, when spring arrives, they find an Alexandrian ship that they can go up to Italy. And Paul comes to Rome, just like God said. As he comes into the city, he's almost got his own triumphal entry with quite an entourage that has come out to meet him. Paul gets to Rome, and he calls for the Jews to come to him. And basically tells them, look, I've not done anything wrong. I don't know what you've heard about me. But I'm actually, verse 20, wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel. Paul's point is, what he's preaching is the fulfillment of the prophecies and promises to Israel. This is really the logical outgrowth of that. And so they say, we haven't heard anything about you, but verse 22, we'd like to hear your views for concerning this sect, they mean the Christians. It is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere. It's got a bad reputation. If we're all really concerned about the church's image, we're not thinking right. I mean, the church is not going to have a very good image among non-believers if we're teaching them the truth. And the idea here is everybody talks bad. We don't know anything firsthand. We sure heard a lot of bad about you guys. But they're willing to listen to Paul. And so Paul sets a day. They all come. Look at verse 23. It says he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning till evening. Guess what the result was? Verse 24. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And that's the way it is everywhere the gospel went. Some turn to the Lord, some turn away from him. It'll be the way it is when we teach. And he speaks of Isaiah's prophecy that talks about their blindness and hard-heartedness. And it says in verse 30, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. Right there in the capital of the Roman Empire, unhindered, preaching the gospel with all openness. What an amazing thing that the gospel has triumphed, that the kingdom has spread to this point. You know, a lot of people wondered, so we just stop there? I mean, like you just kind of feel like this story has kind of been hiding in midair. I mean, what happened? Did he get out of prison? Was he cursed and killed? Did he have a hearing before Caesar? Well, you know, I suspect, personally, that the book finally catches up with the events being chronicled, and that's kind of how things were when Luke wrote this. But whether that's true or not, it seems to me that the question is not, what happened next? But the question is, how will we take this up? You know, how will we continue the story of the teaching of the gospel to advance the kingdom, to conquer the world of Christ? And in one sense, though I really believe in the first century that the gospel was spread all over the world, wherever there were people, there's new people now. And there are in every generation. There's a new generation that we need to get the gospel spread to all of them. We may be a mustard seed, but God will make it a mustard plant. We'll do what we can. So our job is to preach the gospel boldly, for it courageously, take initiative, and spread it everywhere. Let's start in your neighborhood, in your city. There's a lot of Nashvillians who need to hear the gospel. And then let's go. And let's send. And let's make it our purpose to get the gospel spread to as many people as possible. That God's kingdom may prevail, and that we may advance his cause. It's been a wonderful study, wonderful to think about these things. Certainly things that can get me. I need this as much as anybody here. And so I pray that we can take this to heart, and that God can give us boldness and courage to speak here.
How does sad to say that the legal study is over. What are you doing next week, Gary?
We've got another study.
Oh, yeah, weird.
Yeah, it didn't
happen. Not too far. Many of you have been here the entire week. Many of you have been busy with us the weekend. We appreciate that very much. And so I know you appreciate the study. We appreciate the study. Appreciate so much, Gary. Are there any announcements that we need to make this time for this class? Chris, and Del Monte Woods, and these are the things.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly at this time, giving you thanks for this opportunity that we've had together once again to be surrounded by our brothers and sisters in Christ, Father, and to hear your word preached once again, to sing songs of praise to you. Father, we pray that everything that we have said and done here this day has been in accordance to your will and has been acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you for Brother Garrett Fisher, and we thank you for his conviction and his ability to break forth your word to us. Father, we pray that we all as individuals might continue to examine your word and search those things out. And to, Father, we pray that you would continue to pierce our hearts with your word. Father, help us to be convicted of the fact that our sins are what sent Jesus to that cross. Father, and that our sins are what reason for that great sacrifice. And Father, we pray that we might have that conviction, Father, that we might change our lives, that we might daily go forth, remembering our purpose here, being to spread the word of your kingdom, Father, to be lights in a dark world. Father, we are so thankful for the love that you have shown towards us, Father. We pray that we might always be willing to repent of anything that stands in between us and you. Father, we pray that we also would hide your word in our hearts, and that as we have the opportunity wherever we might be, whether it be at work or at school, anyone in our family gatherings, Father, that we might be prepared to share the word with them, Father, and to put the confidence in your word and not in ourselves, but to guide others to the scripture, that they might also be convinced, Father, that your Son did come to this earth. Your Son lived a perfect life, a sinless life. And Father, your Son died that we might be redeemed from our sins. Father, we pray that we might look forward to a day that we would leave this world, Father, and to be joined with you, that we might be able to sing praise to you, Father, to worship you, and to be surrounding your throne by time unending. Father, we pray that this might be in our hearts every day. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for everyone here. Please bless those who are traveling. Help them get back to their destination safely. Be with the sick. Father, please help them with any needs that you know that they have. Pray that they might be return to their better portion of strength, that it would be your will. Father, please watch over us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I forgot.
First one is based on the shelter.